Morning, everyone. Oh, you're very quiet. Morning, everyone. Morning. Yeah, happy birthday, Katie. That's all right. Good. Are you all okay? Great. Let's have a good chat this morning. Should we do that? You up for that? Hey, listen. Does anyone remember? I almost want to ask a teenager because I don't know if they'll know. Let's see. Any teenagers in the room? Do you know what this is? Does anyone know what it is? Tabby, what do you think this is? You got any idea? What, did you just say a waste of paper? Is that what you said? Do you know what it is, Tabby? It's, don't worry if you don't. No. Jesse, do you know what this is? What I'm holding? Do you know? A big book? It could be a big book. Let's try this one. Do you know what this is? So, Emily, do you know what it is? You're having a laugh. You don't know what this is. Darcy, you know what this is, don't you? Do you realise how old we all are now? Is everyone feeling this? Seriously, is there anyone? Isaac, what is it? Oh, round of applause for Isaac. Doesn't that just teach us something? Katie, like, I know it's your birthday. Like, do you not have these in your house? Yes, you did. You did. She just rescued herself there. Sam, come on. You have these in your house, right? Have you? Look at that. You see, these are from the olden days. These are called photo albums. Now, I'm a little bit, like, to be honest, actually, if you want to see some really cringy photos of my brother, they're in here. Look, Simon, that's your 18th birthday cake, and it's a drum. Where's the camera? Yeah, but there might be a picture of me. I don't want a picture of me. I don't know which camera I... What do you mean, hold it up for the camera? Ta-da! Yeah, you really can't see much. Don't worry about that. Yeah, nobody look at these afterwards. I'll be mortified. If you want to see me with proper curly hair and a fringe, this is where you've got... Oh, I'm having a proper trip down memory lane here. Listen, photos. I was with a friend recently and looking at some of her old albums, and I found myself doing this, and I'm intrigued if there's anyone else in the room that has done this before. Please, hands up, let's own this. As I opened this particular album or this photo, I did this. I'm putting the microphone. That is how technical. Simon's looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. And Mary Jane's going, I don't understand what you're talking about. Right, put up your hand if you understood what I was just saying a minute ago. Thank you. No, you didn't a minute ago. Your hand's not allowed to go up. Honest answer, we're not allowed to lie, because Gareth told us about people that lie last week. Where were they from? Quick quiz. Crete. Okay, they're all a bunch of liars in Crete. We're not a bunch of liars in Folkestone. Honest. Who understood a minute ago when I did that, what I was talking about? Hands up. Put your hands up if you did not have a clue what I'm talking about and you're thinking, Sarah, you've lost the plot right now. Yeah, I'm going to take comfort that more of you understood it. There. We are so technical now. Exactly, I'm going to explain it right now. So when I looked at this particular photo that this friend showed me, I literally, without even thinking, I promise you, that's how wired our brains are, without even thinking, I'm so used now to seeing photos on a screen that I went like that. I wanted to zoom in on her face, you see. I went like that. I went to try and zoom, and I was like, oh, I can't do it. And then I actually felt really frustrated. I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, everyone just looks so tiny in these photos, and we can't zoom in to have a proper good look. Does anyone else feel my frustration? Well, Gareth's just offering me his glasses. Is that what you're saying, Sarah? Just get glasses. Go to Specsavers and it'll all be all right. So it kind of just got me thinking about how just the importance of at times in our lives needing to zoom in. Well, like, that's how I zoom, by the way. Anyone else want to do an example of how they zoom? How do you do? Come on, just thumb in there. Okay, there you go. All right. Shall we all do it together? 3, 2, 1. Zoom in. Now zoom out. Tim's looking at me like, Sarah. Look, I didn't have much sleep last night, Tim. All right, I'm just going to put it under that. All right, and now let's zoom out. There you go. No, only half of you are doing it. Come on, zoom in. Double tap. All right, some of you have got more. What are you doing? Zoom in. Yeah, all right, Jim, I didn't mean that. Quick, zoom out. Zoom out, quick. Don't get a close on my face. Please don't do that. Not right now. It's not good. It's not good. Here's my point. And if you want to come and look at some photos of my brother, feel free afterwards. But anyone's of me, I will get rid of, okay? Here's the thing. There are times in our life when actually I want to suggest to us in our spiritual journey or just in life that we actually need to zoom in. We actually need to just take a closer look. Do you know the Bible says that? I think that's the prayer of David. Search me, God. Examine me. Test me. I mean, if that's not three zooms in, I don't know what is. God, come a little bit closer. God, I invite you to come and examine my heart. Come and test my motives. Woo! How closely do you let God examine you? Well, I just got a bit freaked when Jim just did the zoom in on me, and I'm going, whoa, and that's just my outer, my shell. What if that camera could zoom in and do an examination of my heart and it was all on the screen? Ooh. Yeah, come on, let's be honest, right? And yet the real prayer that we're encouraged and invited to pray is exactly that. God, I invite you to come and to examine my heart, to know me, to come and bring your healing into my life, into the depths of my life. That's called the Christian walk. And can I tell you this? It's the safest place to be. It's actually the safest place to be. So although we kind of go, ouch, actually, it's the safest place to be able to say to Almighty God, creator of all things, God, come and zoom in. Come and take a closer look, because he is always good. We sang it this morning. He is always good. His love for us is perfect. And so by inviting him to do that, we welcome God himself into our lives, and he is always for our best. Can I suggest to you as well that there might be times when we need to take a closer look at one another? Can I go a bit further and say that means we might have to have the courage to allow others to take a closer look at us? Now, does anyone want to go, ouch? Do you know we all have blind spots, right? And often it's only other people that can see that. And we're so busy living our lives thinking, you know, as my kids would say, I'm living my best life, living my best life. And yet actually it takes real courage to say to somebody, and I'm not talking everybody, I've said this a few times on a Sunday, but to be able to say to somebody, tell me what you see. Come and zoom in a little bit closer, or I give you permission. And it's not always easy, but there is something about that. There's something about us taking a closer look. Do you know one of the things I think that has grieved me most over the years in pastoral work and continues to grieve me? Church, I want you to listen to me on this. I appreciate that I have a privileged position of knowing many people's lives in a way that a lot of you wouldn't. But you know what grieves me? Is when I hear opinions and things being said about others, and I think if you just took a closer look and really understood what was going on under the surface, you'd be a little bit more careful what you said. Can I hear an amen to that this morning? Can we determine on this day where we celebrate church that we're going to get better at this? That maybe we're not going to make snap judgments, but we'll zoom in a little bit closer. And by zooming in a little bit more, however you zoom, we'll actually go, oh, perhaps I was wrong about that. But perhaps my quick judgment at a distance when they were just a little speck on the picture wasn't quite right, and I need to zoom in a little bit more. However, this morning what I want to talk to us about isn't zooming in. It's actually about zooming out. Because today, Mothering Sunday, I believe, and I've come to this deeper revelation of it over the last few years and even just over the last few weeks, I think Mothering Sunday is an invitation for us to zoom out and to see the bigger picture that surrounds us. I've got news for you today. Life is not just about you. Somebody needs to go, yay. There is a bigger story at play, and it's bigger than just us. Turn to the person sitting next to you and go, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger. It's bigger. There is a story at work around us, and it's bigger than us. And I, this morning, in the few minutes that I've got, want to encourage us to zoom out, and we're going to finish by doing a response. You've got a piece of paper and a pen sitting by you, and I'm going to finish my message by encouraging us to respond to the few things I'm going to say this morning, because today it's my heart that we use this precious time together to zoom out a little bit and to give thanks to God for the bigger story of our lives. That's my prayer. Do you know the Bible is a whole narrative that encourages us to zoom out? Did you know that? If you get a chance, Ethan, to put these words up, but don't worry too much. I'm going to start with Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, Moses encounters God. He's at the burning bush. And before he encounters this huge revelation where God says, I am, God begins by introducing himself and saying, Moses, I'm the God of your ancestors. I'm the God of Isaac, of Abraham, of Jacob. And he begins to paint a picture for him of Isaac. There's a bigger story at play than just you. The Psalms are littered with verses that encourage us to think about generational praise and worship of Jesus, encouraging us to remember the goodness of God. There's a whole psalm that is set aside just for that. Remember when God did that. Remember when God did that. It's an encouragement for us to remember. When Paul writes his letter to Timothy, I love Paul's heart to Timothy and the closeness of their relationship. Here's two guys that properly loved one another and served God together. And it's a beautiful image of the church. And Paul begins by saying to Timothy, Timothy, I thank God for you. Come on, would you just say that with me? I thank God for you. Is there anyone this week that you might just want to text and say, I thank God for you? That's what Paul did to Timothy. I thank God for you, Timothy. And yet you could argue, well, that's a strange one round, because actually Timothy should be thanking God for Paul. Now, he was. But actually, here's Paul as the one, the father, if you like, of Timothy. And yet he's saying to Timothy, I thank God for you. Can we be such a church, friends, that actually say to those younger than ourselves, to the generation below us, I thank God for you. Come on, you're very quiet. I want us to have some conversation this morning. Can we actually do that? Can we break some of our, you know, Gareth spoke so much last week about what is our English culture. One of our English cultures is so respect your elders, respect your elders, respect your elders. Do I think that's right? Yes, I do. But you know what? I also think it's right that elders respect their youngers. Is that even English? Did I even make sense? There is some stuff we've got to break, and it's stupid English culture. And so I want us to be a church community, a church culture that, like Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, I thank God for you. He says, I pray for you, I love you. He said, I was in tears when we said goodbye. Listen, let's be honest in this room. You're not in tears with everyone when you say goodbye. Sometimes you shut the door and you do a little skip. Oh, it's just me, sorry. Didn't realise that. Can we get that off the camera? No, come on, seriously. Like Paul is saying, I shed tears. You know, I was broken when we said goodbye. That shows the level of his love. And then he goes on to say to Timothy, Timothy, stand strong in your faith. Remember, it's a generational faith. He reminds him of his mother. He reminds him of his grandmother. And he says, the faith that has been put into you, oh, Timothy, hold it fast. Hold it fast. Guard it with all your might. I want to say to us, Harbour Church, the faith that has been entrusted to us, guard it. Cherish it. Let's understand some of these beautiful relationships that God's put us in. Do you know what? I haven't even got my notes. I've just talked for the last 10 minutes without even any notes. Am I doing all right? I don't know where they are, but I suddenly had this moment of going, Sarah, find your notes. Just talk amongst yourself while I just find my notes. This is just what I do. I'm a notes person. Here we go. I found my notes. We're all right. I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. Yeah, literally. No, it's not. Don't worry. I'm halfway down. Don't panic, everyone. I just want to make sure I don't miss these verses. Here we go. So I'm talking about that God is the God of the generations. The psalm reminds us of that. From one generation to the next generation, praise God. Luke, Mary's song. Oh, what a beautiful song. Katie, you read it out to us at Christmas. My soul magnifies the Lord. You know, she's just had this visit from the angel and her heart is just overwhelmed with what God has done. And then she goes on to say this in Luke chapter 1. I think it's verse 50. You couldn't find it. She says this, from generation to generation. Come on, would you say this with me? To generation, to generation. You're quiet. Come on. To generation, to generation. This is Mary who's saying it. Mary, carrier of Jesus, the carrier of good news to the world. She declares, from generation to generation, you will be spoken of. Your mercy, she says, from generation to generation, your mercy will be proclaimed. You and I are that generation. We are part of it. Another honest question, you're not allowed to lie. Who's recently read the genealogy that Matthew puts in Matthew chapter 1? Anyone recently? Oh, hand up there, Katie. Oh, Gareth, anyone else? Shame on you. Shame on you. Ask me the same question. No. Have I ever? Do I skip it quickly? Have I zoomed in on it? No, not really. Come on, I'm not the only one. Like, at least I'm being honest up here. Right? I don't like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, every day. But it's there for a reason. Do you know why it's there for a reason? Because I think God is trying to say to his people, and that's us, there is a bigger story at play. And it's not just about you. There is a bigger story at play, and it's not just about you and your little family. As precious as that is. But it's not the story. The story of the gospel is what Mary Jane has just said this morning. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The words of Paul when he says, and now that you are part of the body of Christ, love one another. For now there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no slave. There is no master or slave. There is no male or female. He is saying it is all broken in the name of Jesus. You are now one in Christ. And do you know what I think? I think if Paul was to write a letter to us as a church, as Gareth has said over the last couple of Sundays, I think there would be some quite harsh things in there for us. I think there's some of our English culture that he would want to smash apart. I'm going to be bold enough this morning to say it might just be that he would stand here this morning and say, your Mother's Day, your Father's Day, that you hold so highly and you have such high regard for, actually you're doing more harm than good. Smash it in Jesus' name. I think he might. I think he would tell us to honour our mother and father. Well, he does. He says that. It's in the commandments. But can I just say that you don't honour me by buying me flowers and chocolate. You honour me by every day living a life that proves one of just love and trust and friendship and depth and walking it out when it's tough, the kind of stuff you've said, Aaron. That's how you honour people. You don't honour people by one day buying them a box of chocolates and going out to a fancy restaurant. Can anyone in this place say amen to that? And I think there's some things that if Paul was going to write to us, he would say, you need to smash some of this stuff. Because actually some of your stuff does more harm than good. It polarises rather than unites. It brings more pain than healing. Some of you are nodding. Lord Jesus, would you help us to be your church? So this morning, I want to celebrate Mothering Sunday, because Mothering Sunday is the most beautiful day when you actually look into its origins, and I'm passionate that we restore the original origins of it. Mothering Sunday is a day of celebrating church. It's a day of honoring our spiritual heritage. It was literally set aside as a day where you would return to your mother church, where you would deliberately say, I'm going to go to church. It's been my prayer this week, and it will continue to be my prayer until it's answered. It hasn't been answered fully this morning. And so I will keep on praying it, that God will return to this church those who used to come here. Can anyone say amen to that? I've prayed it every day this week. It hasn't been answered yet. But will I stop praying? No. Because I'm passionate that the people of Folkestone return to church. Can anyone say amen? That there's such a stirring in people's spirits that they wake up one morning and just say, do you know what? I want to return to the place of my mothering. This isn't about gender. It was never about gender. Did you know that God is both mother and father? It's not about gender, and we celebrate gender, but actually this is not about that. The mothering of the church is the nurturing and the caring and the spiritual growth and health and life. I don't know about you, but I'm saying amen to all of that. Today on Mothering Sunday, may Harbour Church be a mothering church, not because it has a woman preaching. But that's how we associate it. Oh, a mothering church, it must be a woman. No, fathers, men can be mothering. Mothering in its true biblical sense. Read the biblical narrative of the mother heart of God who gathers, who nurtures, who tends, who counsels, who feeds, who loves, who corrects, who guides. Oh, this is what I want Harbour Church to be. And so on this Mother and Sunday today, I'm celebrating. I'm really celebrating. Do you know what I'm celebrating? I'm celebrating you lot. I'm celebrating us. I'm celebrating church. So let me just zoom out a little bit in the last 5 minutes that I've got. Are you still awake? Still with me? Still like me? Okay, cool. That's a relief. I want to zoom right out. Come on, do my zoom with me. I want to zoom right out. I want to just really thank Jim Lockie, who's sitting right back there in that little booth, because in our Connect groups at the minute, he is providing us with some excellent teaching about our spiritual heritage. Can we just show our thanks to Jim, all right? Really grateful. And so I'm grateful to Jim because, one, he has been an immense help to me, and it happens to coincide with some of my studies that I'm doing at the minute. So that is a bit of a win and a bit of a tick. So thank you, Jim. But what Jim has done as I've listened to these videos, that shows my age. Darcy, do you know what a video is? Sorry, Darcy, I didn't mean to pick on you. As I've been watching these recordings that he's been doing, I've just been really fascinated with our spiritual heritage right here. Do you remember as Jim began to tell us about Gregory the Great? So come on, quick history lesson. Don't zone out, all right? Or zoom out. All right, listen now. All right, I'm really zooming out far to our Christian heritage, where it all started. Gregory the Great, or Pope Gregory, whatever you want to call him. Please, any historians in the room, don't get cross with me and slam me down. Just give me permission just to say it as briefly as I can. He sends Augustine, who is a monk, but basically he sends missionaries to this island. They arrive on this island in Thanet. Come on, stay awake, stay with me. They then end up in Canterbury. And in Canterbury they meet, let's have a little test, what was the king called? King, well done, King Ethelbert. King Ethelbert is there, and he's the king of Canterbury, he's the king of Kent. King Ethelbert at this point worships pagan gods. He is not a believer in Jesus, but the person I want to tell you about is his wife. See, he had a wife, and history doesn't tell us much about her, but can we stick a picture up of her? Is that all right, guys? Her name was Bertha. Isn't that a cool name? Bertha. I always want to say it with a bit of a southwest accent. I've got to be honest, Bertha. Just bear with me, sorry. Gareth's giving me the eyes now as if to go, stop right where you're at. There you go, there she is, Bertha. Do you want to put up the other picture as well? There's another one of her. There we go, there's a statue of her in Canterbury. You could go to Canterbury and you could see a picture of Bertha. The thing about Bertha is that Bertha, some historians, I appreciate that it might not all be accurate, but just bear with me as I've read about her this week. One historian describes her as a devout Christian. Isn't that just beautiful? And this devout Christian, this is how devout she was. Now, please understand that back in the 6th century, marriages were political. And so she is the princess of a king in what we now call France. It was called the Franks then. I don't know if you say Tours or Troyes or wherever you say in France, that little place. Anyone been there before? Yeah, anyway, it's middle of France, okay, so that's where she came from. She was a devout Christian, so for political reasons, she comes and marries Ethelbert, but she says, I'm only going to marry him. What a woman, listen to this. I'm only going to marry him if I can bring my own private bishop with me. Yes. Good on her. That's like saying, unless I can bring all my Bibles and my commentaries, I'm not going. So she arrives in Canterbury, and that was the deal. What a woman. And she goes down in history as being the one who persuaded Ethelbert. Let me just quote you some things here, because Gregory himself, the great Gregory, he basically thanks her and he says this: without her support and Ethelbert's goodwill, monastic settlements and the cathedral, anyone been to Canterbury Cathedral? It most likely would have developed elsewhere. This morning on this Mother in Sunday, I want to zoom right out and I want to thank God for Bertha. Yeah? Anyone else want to thank God for Bertha? It doesn't stop there. Bertha had some children, some boys. And so Bertha and Ethelbert have these boys, and one of them, I'm really rubbish at pronouncing names. I'm going to call him like Edbald or something like Aidbald, or I don't know, Katie might be able to correct me. But anyway, or maybe I should just call him, I'll be careful what I say. Anyway, but this guy, he didn't follow in his parents' faith, not at the start. In fact, He was pretty immoral. He lived a really immoral life. And this is something for us to grab this morning, guys. Listen to me now. He lived such an immoral life. It took a bishop called Lawrence, I think that was his name. Yes, it did. It took a bishop called Lawrence, I loved this when I read it, who had the courage to go up to him and say, you need to sort your life out. God, would you raise up some prophets like that in this day and age? Who have the courage to speak truth and to say your lifestyle is not right. You need to change it. And as a result, it says he converted to Christianity. He then married another French princess. Her name was Emma. And guess what? Emma was a Christian. So a little bit like Paul says to Timothy, thank God for the mother, Lois, and your grandmother, Eunice. Do you know what? We can say too, because now I'm going to talk about Emma's daughter. Anyone know what Emma's daughter was called? Ainsworth. Come on. We are living right here in Folkestone on incredible spiritual heritage. And today on this Mothering Sunday, I want to go, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the spiritual heritage of our town. Do you know, this area of Kent was so influential in spreading the gospel throughout England. And we live here. This is our roots. And so Emma and this guy that I can't really pronounce very well, they have three children, two boys and a girl. They might have had more, but that's all that history records for us. And Ainsworth is here in Folkestone. We don't know much about her life. We know that there's so many different kind of supernatural miracles, things that are attributed to her. What we do know is this, is that she set up a monastery here. She trained. I mean, again, this is what the history books say about her. Let me just find this here. I want you to get this right. History describes her as a devout Christian. Right here in Folkestone. Come on, is it just me that gets excited about this? History describes her as a remarkable, strong woman. I'll have a bit of that. History says this, that she refused to marry. She was meant to be, again, for political reasons, she was encouraged to marry the King of Northumberland, and she said, I'm not going to do it because he worships pagan gods. Good honour. God, would you raise up a generation of boys and girls who refuse to compromise? Can I hear an amen in this place? Who will have the spirit of Ainsworth, who will say it is more important. And in fact, history says she was married to Jesus. Yes! I get a bit excited about this kind of stuff. God, raise up a generation who will be more passionate about that than about finding the perfect one who, by the way, doesn't exist. I think there might be another thing that Paul might want to smash if he came into our culture today. I think there's a lot about our Western understanding of so many things that Paul would want to smash. I really am wrapping this up, and you can get your pen and your paper in a minute. Ainsworth is known for building the first nunnery monastery in England, devoted her life to helping the poor and training girls. She devoted her life here to setting up a centre of learning. Today on this Mothering Sunday, I thank God for Ainsworth. Am I the only one? I thank God for her. I thank God for her influence here in Folkestone. I thank God for her mother, Emma. And I thank God for her grandmother, Bertha. Now as I begin to conclude, let's zoom in a little bit closer. We've gone out as far as we can. Do you know, Folkestone really is recorded as being one of the places that the Christian message came first. We have incredible spiritual heritage here. And this is a bit of a side away, but you know, a couple of years ago, they discovered her bones, or so they think, and all of that. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. I want to just declare spiritually, God, could you raise up again? Could you raise up again? Can these bones live? I'm not talking about Ainsworth. I'm talking about the Spirit of God, a move of God. Can we just pray that right now? God, on this Mothering Sunday, we pray about our town. God, let it be that they don't just find natural bones, but in the Spirit, God, there is a stirring again in this town, and that many Ainsworths are raised up. People who create cultures and centers of learning. Women who make a difference. Men who make a difference. God, on this Mothering Sunday, we ask you for that. But can we now, as we conclude, zoom in a little bit closer? What about your spiritual heritage? What about your generations? What about the people that have impacted you? You know, I want us to have a bigger picture this morning. I want us to begin to think, start thinking now. You've got a pen and paper there next to you, and you might already just want to start writing some names. Because in a moment, I'm going to ask us to to come and place the names that we write onto the altar up here as our way of just saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for the people that have influenced me. Do you know my prayer is that many of them are here today, that they're alive, they don't have to be dead. I want us to have a heart of thankfulness and say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my spiritual heritage. I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning, but I'm going to. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but as I zoom in a little bit closer to Harbour Church, I this morning want to honour and thank George and Lindsay. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Yeah, Katie's doing a little clap there. I am going to ask us as a church to clap them. I want to tell you why. Most of you won't know George and Lindsay now. They have been in this church the longest out of everyone in the whole of Harbour Church. Like, they've been here forever, like over 100 years. You know, they've been here forever. George and Lindsay sitting right there. And when we came to Folkestone 23 years ago, George and Lindsay were just so welcoming, so faithful. Lindsay was treasurer of this church for more years, and I don't even know how she managed it, like over 30 years. That's faithfulness, right? I honour you for that, Lindsay. George, I honour you for your faithfulness. You're just George. You just always show up. There's not a job that's too demeaning for you. You just get on with it. You just get on with it. No fuss. Don't you agree with me? Now, I could be saying this about so many people. Why am I just picking these two out? Because they're Harbour's spiritual heritage. Yeah? Jordan, would you help me? Because I don't want to embarrass George and Lindsay. And if I ask them to come forward, they'll kill me. But can you just take them those chocolates? Can we honour George and Lindsay this morning? So do you know what? On my piece of paper, I'll have George and Lindsay. Because over and over again, they have loved me and mothered me and taught me how to keep going in times when I could have so easily stopped. Thank you. Especially in that early years. Man, they cheered us on and championed us, but they haven't just done it for us, they've done it for generations. Who is it that you want to put on? I don't have chocolates for this lady because she wouldn't be able to eat them. But Celia, I want to honour you, not so much in the context of Harbour, but in the context of Folkestone. And there's people sitting here, certainly from Cheriton Baptist, but you, Celia, have been a mother to so many in Folkestone. Am I telling the truth or what? So Celia, today, come on, can we honour this woman? Thank you. I'm cross with myself because I meant to get you flowers, but I will get them and bring them to you later. You know how ditzy I am, right? I just forgot. Who are you thankful for? I could go on, but I just particularly wanted to highlight George and Lindsay for our spiritual heritage here. I mentioned Celia because I know that she is, Celia, there's hardly a church I can go to in this town. In fact, I can't think of one where you're not known and loved and respected. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. That astounds me. Like, I don't know, when I'm your age, Celia, if that will be said of me, I don't know. But it's said of you. It's said of you. There is not a church in this town that doesn't honour you. And so on behalf of Folkestone, thank you. Thank you. Dave, would you come and just play something for us? And I want us just to take a minute. I want us to write on our bits of paper. I just want us to give thanks to God. I know it's Mothering Sunday, and so you might want to, you know, we're so trained to only think of women on this day. But it's not just about women. I want you to thank God. Who are the people in your life? I thank God for my home church in Tunbridge Wells. I thank God for two sweet ladies, Gwen and Betty, that always sat on our front row. And they loved me, and they prayed for me. They took care of me. I thank God for them. Oh, I could go on. I could go on. So many people. Who are you thanking God for? Both in the past and current right now. And you can write as many names as you want. I want us to have a heart of thankfulness today. A heart of thankfulness. Do you know, thankfulness honours God. The children are coming in, and I want to encourage the children to do this. So while you're writing that, I'm just going to keep waffling for a minute. And I'm really grateful that we have some beautiful gifts here. Some beautiful candles that say Happy Mother's Day, and they're just beautiful. And there's a gift on here that's a verse on here. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like sifting shadows. And wow, what a great verse and a great gift. So yeah, these were here for all the women in the church, and I'm thankful for that. So women of all ages. But I also want to say, men, if you like a candle, come and get a candle. Because this morning I want to just break some of this stuff. And here's the deal, there's gifts for everyone, because yesterday I went to Sainsbury's and spent a lot of money on chocolate. Because there's some women that would rather have chocolate maybe than a candle. Or if there's enough, have both. Children, the youngest children, there's chocolate buttons down here. Take some for Sue, actually. There's loads of chocolate down here. Kids, everyone. This is gift day for all of us. It's for all of us. So what I want us to do is this. When you feel ready, I invite you to come, and just as you feel ready, do it at your own pace. Come and place your thankfulness on the altar over here. Just this beautiful space over here. And you might just even want to just pause there for a moment and just say, God, thank you.